The Vectors Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
You're listening to Vectors Radio on FM 104.6, and joining me now is Teresa Brimble Brennan, who's here for a very important conversation. It's all to do with support for victims of sexual assault. But first of all, welcome, Teresa, and tell us what your role is at the council.
Hello, Ian. Welcome. Thank you very much. My role is Domestic Abuse Project Officer for the Isle of Wight Council.
And how long have you been doing that?
I've been doing this role now for 2 years, so yeah, quite recent.
So how much of the last 12 months, as you know, looking at the previous 12 months, what is, you know, what's the main differences?
I guess what COVID has done is it's changed everything, really. It's changed the way we work. It's changed lots of processes that we have, but what it hasn't changed is the fact that we're there to support the people that need us the most. And I think that's the important thing. I think we've learned to work in different ways, but we've worked around COVID, and I can honestly say that for anybody that needs the support has always been there.
So we've got a campaign. It started on the 17th of May. It's running for a month, and it's support for victims of sexual assault. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, this is a really important campaign we're running at the moment. We've decided to run it over the month. So this campaign is making people aware of what is sexual violence, and also the different types of sexual violence that come under that umbrella. And for us, it's about making people aware of what it is and where they can seek support. So, and it's being able to signpost people to the right services to get the support if they should need that.
I'm guessing most assaults would happen in the home, especially in the last 12 months, because people, you know, haven't been able to go to nightclubs and so on. But I'm guessing, you know, it involves the workplace as well. Is it predominantly in the home?
Certainly, yeah. The majority of sexual assaults happen either in a victim's home or in the perpetrator's home. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. The majority is happening in homes.
So when you talk to most people, I would imagine that most people are going to be aware that, you know, a sexual assault has taken place. You know, what can be described as sexual assault, and how is it confusing, you know, for some people? Because I would imagine you may have spoken to people that doesn't even realize that, you know, that's sexual assault, because they just assume that it's normal behavior.
Absolutely. Well, the best way of describing that, really, and the easiest way to people, it's the fact that it's any kind of unwanted sexual act or activity. So, and that can include things like rape, sexual assault, sexual abuse, and many others. But it's a sexual act that a person does not consent to, or perhaps may be forced into against their will.
So who should get in touch when, if you feel that you know that something's happened and it's not right and you want to report it, but maybe that person is not wanting to because of, for fear of whatever may await them, should other people get involved on their behalf?
Yes, certainly. I mean, if somebody is worried and they don't know what to do about it, they can certainly speak to their friend about it, and hopefully their friend will encourage them to speak to an organisation that can support and help them. A really good organisation that we've got on the island is the ISVA support, and they are the Independent Sexual Violence Advisory Service. Now, they're not linked to the police or anybody. They're completely independent. And they can work with somebody who's experienced something like this and talk them through all their options and be there for them and help them to come to terms with what's happened and make the right decisions for themselves. So it's a really great organisation for providing that vital support to somebody. And that support could be about just giving them information, And it also can be for to support victims of current or historical sexual assault, because I do know through speaking to the local ISVAs that actually they work with lots of people for whom sexual assault is very historic. And one of the things that we do know with crimes like this is that sometimes it takes people a long time to be able to feel confident or able to share their experience with somebody else.
So how long can you leave it before actually, you know, reporting it?
There is no set time, Ian. For everybody, that amount of time is going to be completely different. For some people, they may feel the need to want to share that straight away. But for others, that can be years. And by years, I mean years. That can be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. There is no set time. Something like this will impact on people in very different ways. And for some people, they may become quite numb straight away afterwards and actually not have the words or be able to cope emotionally or psychologically with something like that.
So if somebody was thinking, oh, crikey, it happened 15 years ago, they're not going to want to know, you know, my story, or they're not going to want me to get in touch. That's not true. So what are we saying to those people that, you know, when the time is right, they need to come forward?
Absolutely. If you feel the time is right for you, please don't put it off any longer. Please pick up the phone, contact via email and seek some support, because there will be somebody at the end of a phone call or the end of an email that will be able to help you and support you. And they can support you to do whatever it is that you want to be able to do. So there is no push in being able to deal with it in a particular way. The whole idea of the ISVA service is it's a very bespoke service. And it's bespoke because actually it enables people to deal with it in the right way that's for them.
Now, I've noticed in the press release that we got is a 115 referrals in the last 12 months, which, you know, it's too high. One is too many, but, you know, it's high. And that means that there's 115 people that have really gone through it in the last 12 months. I would imagine there's a whole load more that don't actually report it. So for those people that haven't reported it, what can they expect when they pick up the telephone to come forward and report this? What can they expect? Because obviously we need to waylay their fears.
Absolutely. The first thing that they can expect is that they're not going to be blamed for what has happened, and they're going to be made very aware at the very point of call, actually, whatever has happened to you, you're not to blame for this. And it's really important that people hear that message and understand that message, because it's a huge thing that they may have been carrying around with them, and they need to know that actually they're not to blame for anything that's gone on. What they'll then be told is they'll be explained about the service and the kind of support that they can get. They'll be encouraged to talk at a pace that's right for them. Now, for some people, they may want to tell their story straight away because that's the sort of person that they are. They need to offload that. They need to speak about it. And for somebody else, that may not be appropriate. Somebody else maybe feel particularly anxious, particularly maybe distrusting of services and maybe distrusting of other people, and will want to build a relationship up with an ISVA before they feel able to talk about what's happened to them. And that is equally fine. So there is no single way of being able to deal with people. It is that bespoke service. And because these individuals are highly trained, they know how to deal with people and the best ways to help and support people.
So the message is simple. You can pick up the phone, you can send an email, and you can speak to somebody that is going to care about the situation you find yourself in, not through your own fault at all, but someone is going to speak to you like a human being. No one's going to accuse you of anything. They're going to be fully supportive and on your side.
Absolutely. They are, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And because they're there as well, if you want to report it to the police, they'll help and support you through that process. But equally, if you decide you don't want to report it to the police for whatever reason, then that's absolutely fine. There is no pressure at all to do that. They are completely independent from the police.
Can sexual abuse be mental?
In what way, Ian?
Well, sexual abuse, we think mainly it's physical, but would
Right.
there is there a mental side to it?
Well, it certainly impacts on a person's well-being. Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it can cause very mental scars for people, and they will carry that around for a very long time until they're able to perhaps deal with that. And in some cases, some people are never able to deal with that. So it's really important that we are able to help people when they feel ready to accept that help.
I'm hearing you talk about all of these things that you're part of and you must see on a daily basis, and you must hear some horrible stories, and I'm not going to get you to go into any, purely for confidentiality reasons. But how do you keep yourself sane hearing all these stories? Because it must make you feel angry and upset in a lot of cases as well. So how do you deal with that on a daily basis?
Yeah, it is. It can be a really challenging subject to be dealing with on a daily basis. But for me, I guess the bit that I walk away with is the fact that we do things in my role like this campaign, where we're raising awareness and we are getting messages out there and we are letting people know that there are people that care and we are trying to support them in the best way that we can. And from things like this, we get the really good messages, we get the good news stories, and just one good news story can kind of really take the edge away from some of the bad stuff that's going on out there. And I think it's really important that we are talking about things like this. I think not talking about it is certainly the wrong way to go about these sorts of things, and it's only by talking about it and sharing this that we're raising the awareness and making people feel more comfortable to come forward and say, actually, that happened to me, and I feel I need some support now with that, and being able to help somebody along their journey.
We should finish up obviously with some details of the campaign itself and so on. But to just one more point to make, and that is, I would imagine. I'm guessing you might be telling you might tell me that I'm wrong, but I would imagine that most sexual assaults are caused by or carried out by men, but it's sometimes the other way. So this affects men and ladies.
It does, yeah, absolutely. It affects men and women, and there is nobody that's exempt from this at all. One of the things that we do know is that actually it's probably very much underreported by men as well. So we need to bear that in mind when we're talking about this and advising people. And I know that the ISVAs on the island support have got men and women that they are currently supporting. So yeah. Yeah, it is affecting men as well.
Is it more difficult for a man to come forward purely and simply because, he's a man, and if he's an old-fashioned bloke, he's going to feel a little bit shameful, maybe?
Yeah, I certainly think that is the case, Ian. I think for men, there perhaps is a greater embarrassment and perhaps maybe humiliation they may be feeling. And I think for them as well, it's that fear of not being believed and perhaps losing some of their masculinity because of it. So, and it's something that's not talked about a great deal amongst men. I think women talk about things a lot more along these sorts of lines, whereas men don't tend to talk about these sorts of subjects. So therefore, if somebody has experienced something like this, then it would be very difficult for them to perhaps talk to a friend about this.
Okay, we've got the campaign that's running for a whole month, and we want to say to people, pick up the phone, get in touch, and remember, it's not your fault, it's somebody else's fault, it's not yours. So pick up that phone. There are people to help you, not just for this month. And I know the campaign runs from the 17th of May until the 17th of June, I guess. But how can we get in touch? It's not just a telephone call. We can send emails and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. So please, what I'd like people to do is to follow the Isle of Wight Council, share our feed posts to really promote the campaign. If people can follow us on social media, so on Instagram and Facebook, that would be fantastic. We are putting out there 10 interactive social media stories. they'll be going out every Monday and Thursday. We've also created 3 short videos, so those videos will be shared as well, talking about what is sexual violence, how can people report it to the police, and how can people seek support from the ISVA service. I've also got another longer video which is going out on Monday, and this is a really powerful video, and it reaches out to survivors, and it's talking about the ISVA service and the support that they can offer, and that's going out on Monday. So I'd really encourage people to look out for that video. It will also be available on YouTube as well from Monday.
It's really great to talk to you, and I just think that this is just a fabulous thing that you're doing. I just think it's brilliant. It will open people's eyes, but it will make people hopefully more aware that there is help, so that they don't feel alone. They don't feel like that they have to push it under the carpet and just get on with life. There is help, and you should, you know, just make contact, because you will feel better.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's what we really want to encourage people. People will believe, you won't be to blame, there is support. Please remember that for everybody.
Excellent. Well, look, I'm really hopeful that maybe by the end of the month-long campaign, you may be able to come in and, you know, come into the studio live and maybe, you know, tell us how the campaign has gone.
I'd really love to do that, Ian. That would be fantastic.
Excellent. For now, Teresa Brimble-Brennan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you now. Bye-bye.